Hello, I'm Joshua Scott.
And I'm Tiffany Scott.
And we've been married now for about 3.5 years.
Yeah, so we just wanted to share a story with you. Basically, we met, and for convenience purposes, we moved in together, and we're living together shortly after dating for a little while. But then we just had God put it on our heart that we needed to do something different, and that's when we went to...
We went to the marriage retreat in Boise, the Weekend to Remember. We were encouraged to go, even though we weren't married yet. And God just did a really big work in our lives and convicted us. The Holy Spirit just showed us that we weren't setting a good example for our children. And we signed a marriage covenant. And after we signed the marriage covenant, we came back home from the retreat and we got married about a month later. Tiffany just said, "Hey, why don't we just get married?" And I'm like, "Whoa, we gotta have a wedding, we gotta have our family, we gotta have our friends." And she's like, "Well, we had all that, we both had all that with our previous spouses the first time, and our marriages didn't work out. Why don't we just get married? Let's do this." So we ended up getting our marriage license and getting married that day at Pastor Ron and Susie's house. And it's just has changed our life, and it allowed the Holy Spirit and it allowed the Lord to continue to work in our family. And what does a blended and blessed family look like?
Yeah, so we had actually started the class for blended and blessed prior to going to the retreat. That's one of the things that encouraged us to go. And then we continued that, and that just gave us some really solid foundation for us to know how to handle our blended family. We have Serenity and Sean, who are my two kids from a previous marriage, and they live with us 50% of the time. And so we just used all the tools that we got there to help us, really understand how to do step family, which for us was just that whole crock pot scenario that it's slow and steady. There is no microwave in a step family. And then shortly thereafter, God put it on our hearts for us to have a child of our own together, even though that wasn't really in the plan. And that's where Daniel came into play. We just love him and we know he's going to be the most amazing blessing to so many. He brings joy to them already.
What a great story, huh? Josh and Tiffany Scott. So, two people going along and God begins to get a hold of their life and they begin to adjust to God's ways and they begin to experience the blessings of walking in harmony with God. And so we love the Scott family. Josh has been part of our tech crew here now for a number of months and is doing a great job. And so we're thankful. Well, this morning, we're going to focus on marriage, and we've got some great couples from our church up here, and I'll introduce them in a moment. But Hebrews 13, verse 4, says that marriage is honorable, and it's to be held in high regard. That's my paraphrase, but we're to esteem marriage as highly valuable, as something that is God-designed, and so we're to exalt it and honor it, not desecrate it or treat it as something not valuable. So I was reading some stats earlier last week and discovered that less and less people are getting married. The people who do get married later in life. More and more people are cohabiting together, that is, moving in together without marriage. And that's kind of the trend right now. So our culture right now is not esteeming marriage highly and so on, but for the church, it needs to be a different story. And so you're going to hear some honesty from some folks that have lived some life and gone through some years of marriage, and they're from kind of different, coming from different places in life. And so there's a lot of value to be had here this morning. So let me introduce everybody to you. Starting with John and Tina Baker, I have to have a list of their kids. They've been married 10 years. And they have children from previous relationships, but together now, we'll start at the top with the oldest. Tyler is 29 years old, Andrew is 25, and those are from Tina's previous relationship. And then Johnny is 22 and Abby 16, and they're from John's previous relationship. Then we have Taryn and Vaughn and Tian and Danny and Chloe and Josiah and Johanna and Josie, ages 12, 9, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3. 12 kids, y'all. Yeah. So they are blended. They are a blended family, but they are also an adoptive family. So what you need to know is that 8 of their children are adopted. Can you imagine adopting 8 children? That's what they've done. And John's going, no. So Tina is RN at St. Luke's, and John actually works here on the maintenance crew at Lighthouse, and he's been a huge blessing. Next, we have Mike and Denise Hayward. They've been married for 41 years. Good job on that, you guys. And so before moving up here a few years ago, Denise, for 35 years, worked as the city clerk for the city of Lakewood, California, kind of our old neck of the woods down there, Downey, Lakewood area. And then Mike, for 31 years, was working in the oil fields in Long Beach, and he was, among other things, a gang pusher. Now, I know that sounds illegal. But Mike assures me that it actually is a job description, descriptor. So, okay, we'll have to trust you on that. And so they have one boy, Ben, 34 years old, and 2 grandchildren. Yes, I am jealous of you guys about that. So, next we have Jason and Heidi Hauser. A lot of you know Jason and Heidi. And Jason has been and is a pastor, although not on staff here. He does a lot of traveling with the ministry that he leads called Seeds Family Worship. He also is our children's ministry worship leader. And Jason and I and Jason and Heidi's son Ben, we work together producing and writing the songs for Seeds. And so we get to work together a lot and put out music. And Seeds gets about 1.5 million views.
Streams.
Thank you.
All the kids are streaming nowadays, Greg. You know,
thank
that's
you.
How they get their music.
Thank you. You'll get me current, I'm sure. So, and if you're not familiar with Seeds is a ministry where we provide materials for families for discipleship. But the heart of that is really the music, where we take scripture word for word and we put music to the scripture, or the scripture to music, however you want to say that. And so it's a real tool in being able to memorize scripture, to hide scripture in your heart. And so it's very exciting. Jason, anything you want to add about Seeds?
Yeah, and it's we're so thankful that we get to do this here in Twin Falls. We record primarily here at our church. So we record all this music here that goes out really to the ends of the earth. I mean, it's amazing through technology how God just expanded our reach. And even this year during COVID, we've been doing children's services that many churches have been using. And then the music that we create here, we also use in our children's ministry. So every week, our kids here at Lighthouse are singing God's word, and they're getting God's word in their heart. Oh, yeah! And so yeah, we're so thankful to get to serve in that way and for what God's doing. It's amazing what God's doing here just from Twin Falls. So.
Yeah, love it. Love it, love it. And Heidi, she's a nurse practitioner at St. Luke's. And together, you've been 25 years married, which is awesome. Good job.
Whoop, whoop.
And we'll hear about their 25 years here in a minute. But they have three children. Ben, who is 21 years old. Ben happens to be the one sitting behind the drums, and he's an amazing musician and music producer and songwriter. And then we have Brandon, who is just turned 19 and just left for Montana for YWAM, for doing his DTS up in Montana. So that's a pretty cool deal. And then Abby is here still, 16 years old. She's driving. She's here at Lighthouse School. And so Jason and Heidi are kind of in that place where the kids are starting to fly the coop, and the nest is getting a little emptier with time. So there's our couple. So we're going to ask them a few questions. And so the first one, by the way, this Chuy Ortega really is forcing us to ask this question because for some reason he just wants to know how other people kind of do this. But when it comes to the bathroom, and I'll start with Jason and Heidi, when it comes to the bathroom, do you have an open door policy in your marriage?
We'd like to thank Chuy for this question. That's a good way to start this morning. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, thankfully in our bathroom, we have a place where it's like we shower, get ready, and so we have an open door policy, but then we have another smaller room, which I call the Oval Office. So the open door policy is the main bathroom, but in the Oval Office, it's a closed door policy. So we kind of have a little bit of both.
Chuy, are you, hopefully Chewy's life has been straightened out a little bit, so. Okay, so let's get into this a little bit, and let's go to Mike and Denise. I know we got to pass that mic around a little bit this morning, but what's the best advice you could give to people who are considering marriage?
Well, the first one is really to have God in your life, because your marriage needs to be centered around Christ. Otherwise, when problems arise, differences come up, and you really need to focus on Christ in your life.
Be prepared to make a commitment both to God and to your partner that you're going to stick it out. Because when things get bad, sometimes that's the only reason you stay, and staying is worth it.
Yeah, somebody said to me a while back that they were having a conversation, and they were asked by a younger person, and this is somebody who's been married for a long time, and the younger person said, "What's the secret to, you know, not getting divorced?" And the person said, "Stay married." Right? So there was a commitment there, however many years ago, standing at an altar in a church or wherever it was, and you made an oath before God, "Till death do you part." That has to mean something, right? So before you say "I do," you make sure you've weighed that, because it's going to get tested, for sure. That's great advice, you guys. Well, let me ask John and Tina, since your situation is unique with blended / adoptive family. What are some of the unique challenges of kind of your situation? Maybe you don't think it's unique because it's just you, but what's unique to being blended / adoptive family?
I think Tina could answer this better, because her parents were married and still are married, so she knows what life is like with parents that both are with you. But
does Tina agree that she should answer this?
No, she doesn't agree. I'm just trying to pass the mic because I thought I was just a pretty face.
Okay, so here's some marital relationship in real time right here.
So
how do you resolve conflict? Let's just watch.
Oh, I thought I was gonna go with the first question. So I think adoption, or actually foster care and being a step parent, are very similar. They're both hard. The thing with having an ex that's always going to be there, that's where it's harder, probably, as a blended family. Mm-hmm. What was your question? I didn't get enough
some
coffee.
Of the unique challenges, yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, it's totally.
Always having that hanging over your head when it comes time to discipline your kids or whenever to make rules. You always have in the back of your mind, you just know that all these rules that you're making, your kids might do great with you, and then they go to mom for the summer and come back with...
different.
I don't want to get too deep into that, because...
sure.
I have a daughter here that's... I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, but she's right there.
So, but I think...
I'm sorry, Abby, I forgot you're here. But that is one of those things. I try not to let it affect my decision-making, because I just want to stand up and do the right thing, regardless what is going to happen when she leaves. We only have her for this time.
Sure.
That's something you're not going to have to deal with if you stay together. Don't get married if you're going to get divorced. I didn't know, but...
yeah. Do you want to add to anything, Tina?
I do think foster parenting and blended families are... a lot of the same, but it is hard to have that. Like, we foster the kids for probably at least 36 months for a lot of them before we adopted them, so that's when we have their parents visiting off and on, and you know, so that's hard to do the visits and then no visits, but it's kind of the same thing. You have to listen to them and respect their decisions, and then even now we still have a few parents. Most of them are not involved, but we have a couple that want to be involved, and that's mm-hmm. really hard because they're still using, and we really don't want them to be a part if they're not a healthy influence for the kids. So
some of them are not very good mm-hmm. places at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Still. So.
Well, I've got to tell you, adopting 8 children is beyond phenomenal. I mean, it's just amazing. And that you fostered the children first. I mean, is that not phenomenal, you guys? To just, take kids in your home and love them and raise them is just, I can't think of a more God-honoring, Christ-glorifying thing. So anyway, good job. Keep it up.
Well, we have 3 sets of siblings, so that's how we got... that's how we got so many kids, is because we have 3 and 2 and 1 and is that it? Yeah. And 2 more. So a few of them are related, and some of them we had in care, and then another one was born to that mom and we got them. So it just kind of just kept going, and we couldn't say no. That's his fault.
Love it. I love it.
Foster care, you got to get into it, because... yeah. They need foster parents that are Christians.
Bad.
People that will love on these kids. Sorry, did I just get up on my
You
soapbox?
Go ahead. You preach it right
if
now.
If you even have an inkling that maybe you want to do it, get together with your spouse and get it done. It's not that bad. It's actually amazing. And you look at all the kids and all the things that happen in our life, and it reminds me, I'm just as bad as I'm worse than them, and God loves me, and all these little pictures of God's love come to me through the kids. It's like he's got so much grace for me, and I don't return that grace to my kids that well, but it's a good example. It reminds you of this is how God feels every day. I break his heart, and yet he just comes back and forgives me over and over again. That's what we all need to do. These kids need someone that'll do that and that has the background, a Christian background, because they're going to be raised by the world otherwise. So that's my soapbox speech.
Good. Thank you. So let me ask Mike and Denise, does prayer factor into your marriage? And if so, how does it factor in?
Yes, prayer matters. That's what holds the family together. We don't do a whole bunch of quiet time together, but once in a while we do, over some main things that might be going in our marriage at the time. Prayer really brought us together. We had two life events that happened to both Denise and I, where 10 years ago, Denise had ovarian cancer, and I just had lung cancer. I had my left lung removed this last December, and definitely brought us together more closer, and definitely prayer. God answered a lot of prayers through a lot of events. Yes, prayer is a very big thing for us.
How about you, Jason and Heidi? Does you guys have prayer in your marriage?
Yes, we certainly, we pray together. And even just in my personal prayer life, just it, prayer helps me to stay focused on the Lord and not on myself or my struggles or what's happening down here, you know, on earth. And I can just, I'll pray to God for just, what's your plan for my life, for our marriage? And it helps me to get outside of myself and focus on the Lord and be able to really trust Him and His plans for our marriage, our kids, future generations, just things that I can't even see. Just praying, I find, just helps me to kind of take a step away from myself, because that usually doesn't get me very far, come to find out.
Well, I feel like I've really blessed Heidi in helping our prayer life, because marrying a musician is not the easiest thing to do, right, Greg? You can testify to that. So she has a lot of things to pray about. But no, one of the things, you know, that we do is just, you know, we get into habits. We can have good and bad habits in life, but good habits are the same. We just kind of fall into that pattern. But, you know, we say a short prayer before we go off for our day together. And it's usually, it's not a super spiritual thing or anything. We just hold hands and just pray just simply over our day. And I mean, those are things. And then before we go to bed at night, just those are our habits. It's not every morning, every night, but it's just one of the ways that we stay connected in a small way, you know, is just those prayer times. And then we try to do a family night once a week. Again, we don't do it every week, you know, but we have just a time where our family will sit down. And again, it's not with people, if we videoed our family times, I mean, our family would be embarrassed, because they're kind of crazy and rowdy like our family is. but we end up, you know, but we just say, hey, let's just pray. And we call this thing the circle prayer, but you just pray for the person next to you. Just like, it's like small group in your house, you know, but just little prayer times. And a lot of times it's really simple, but sometimes, you know, there are things going on in our lives and in the extended family, there's things we pray about, you know. It's kind of like showing up that the time when there's really deeper prayer needed, it's like we can, hey, let's pray about this going on with this friend or this situation or school or whatever, you know. But just trying to, we've tried to make it a part of the culture of our family, just that, because we know we need God every day. And we've definitely seen God answer prayers in our 25 years of marriage and with our family. I mean, we've seen God specifically answer prayers, and we're so thankful for that.
That's excellent. So, you know, praying together, but also praying for each other, right? I mean, that's just huge, because what prayer does, when we bring our spouse before the Lord, if we have anything going on in our heart towards them, any angers or unsettled issues, it gets dealt with, because God kind of won't let us really talk to him about stuff until we deal with it. You know, if you've got some ought in your heart towards your brother, you know, and you're coming to the altar, leave your gift at the altar, go deal with it, and then bring your gift to the altar, right? God is like, no, deal with this in your heart. And so prayer is, it keeps our hearts for one another, keeps them clear. And so it's really, it's glue in a marriage for sure. Well, let me ask Mike and Denise, because I heard your answer to another question, Laz. I want to ask you guys this. What does it mean for wives to submit themselves to their husbands?
Surrender the remote.
Surrender the remote. That's good. That's good.
I think for us, it's been acknowledging that God is leading us as a couple, and for me to acknowledge him as the leader of our family. And so there are decisions that we make where I will argue loudly and longly for my side and know that we will make the right decision, and that, you know, sometimes I give up.
So let me ask you the same question, you guys. What does it mean for you, Mike, to love Denise like Christ loved the church? Because that's in that same passage, right?
Well, Denise, my wife, is my life partner, so I want the best for her. It's also defending her. We talked about that a little bit earlier. She has a voice in the family, so you got to be willing to listen. It's a partnership. It's not about you, or it's not always about her, but it's a compromise that we listen to each other and work things out and pray about it and make sure that Christ is leading the way in your marriage and through the situations that you face.
So, submitting yourselves one to another is the way that that passage begins, right? Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another. So there is a mutual submission that happens in marriage, but then there's a unique submission, hupotasso, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. I've always felt like the unique thing about that is that it can't be forced. It can only be freely offered. So it can only go one way. So a husband should never quote that verse to his wife, like ever. So too, the loving your wife like Christ loved the church, that has to flow one way from the husband to the wife. But I'll tell you what, if you have a husband who's sacrificially loving his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, the wife is probably not going to have a real hard time giving hupotasso, submitting. It goes both ways. It absolutely does. Excellent. So let me ask the Hauser clan, how do you resolve conflict?
Hattie, you want to take this one?
Start.
Well, we've certainly had our fair share of resolving conflict over the years. I would like to think we've gotten better over the 25 years that we've been married. And in some ways, I think we probably have just, we've learned to work through things. I think we continue to evolve. I think if you would have asked me when we first got married, I think I would have probably told you, you know, I think by the time we've been married 25 years, we would be in some kind of marriage cruise control, and we would kind of have it all figured out. And now I come to find out that there really isn't such a thing, and we're just trying to still figure it out too. But as far as resolving conflict, we've learned to get better at this over the years. We've really learned to appreciate our differences. Whereas when we were first married, I think our differences, because we are quite different in the way we approach life. I'm more of a think through all the pros and cons, and I'm a little less of a risk taker, and Jason's a major risk taker. And if you didn't know. But so early in our marriage, that was a frustration. We would try to make decisions, work through conflict. We would just see our differences as a frustration. And over the years, we've gotten better at being able to really see our differences as a compliment. They help us to make better decisions together. They help us work through conflict together. And just being able to, I think, you know, for me personally, working through conflict, I tend to get defensive, and I can give him, you know, 1,000 reasons why I'm right and he's wrong. And I can feel pretty good about it in the moment, but I get defensive really quickly, and I realize how destructive that is. And so sometimes the best I can do is just to close my mouth and not talk until I just kind of get a little more centered on, you know, the heart of what are we really arguing about? Because usually it's not a big deal. And somehow I got turned into a big deal and got defensive. But I think just, and the other thing too that that I wanted to mention about just working through conflict is a couple of years ago we went through some marriage counseling with a couple that a principle that came out of that for us that really impacted us was having a grace-based relationship versus a performance-based relationship, and realized that a lot of our conflict was based on just performance-based relationship, and to really be able to give grace and accept grace, and it just has really just changed the way we kind of work through conflict.
Oh, that's good. Can everybody say amen to that? Amen. Oh yeah, girl, that's what I'm talking about. But yeah, I mean, I would just add to that, one of the things that we do, and this is really practical, because I'm a risk taker, I'm also emotional, right? And the emotions, you get fired up, and we've created a tap out policy. So if we're kind of getting, it's like this starts going and the defense is strong, because Heidi says she's got a strong, in the football metaphor, she's got a strong D. My office is coming on strong. But we can just say, I need a break. And sometimes for one spouse, the other, when you're in it, it's hard to do that, right? Because like, no, I want to take care of business right now. I'm fired up. Let's do this. But you don't come to the most godly decisions, I think, when you say, hey, I need a break. For me, I go for a prayer walk. We take a break. You guys mentioned that first service, I think Mike and Denise too, about. But then you can come back, and there's a humbling and having the prayer, Greg, you mentioned, that you can say, hey, you know what? I do see where you're coming from. I'm sorry. You see the other side, like just to let it breathe. I mean, that's really helped us, you know. And like I say, our differences, like Heidi said, we complement each other. The Bible talks about, you know, the person. A good translation in Genesis is God has given you a compliment. But we see things differently. We look at a different windows of the house, but that's actually, it creates conflict, but it's also one of our greatest strengths. And so we have to listen to each other, and we still have to, like Heidi's saying, work at that. But I just encourage you as you do that, if you can take a break and come back and then land, because the goal is always unity, you know. And the last thing I'll add is Heidi mentioned just, you know, us going through some marriage counseling. We've done marriage counseling. We've gone to Weekend to Remember. We've gone to marriage classes. We've done things to invest in our marriage. And I think sometimes people are a little apologetic about that. I'm so proud of every person that goes to marriage counseling. I'm so proud of every couple that does premarital counseling. Everybody needs counseling, and can, just like everybody needs a coach to be great at athletics, like everybody needs, you know, we all mentors. And so I encourage you as a married couple, have other couples that are for you. If you have an opportunity to go to a Weekend to Remember that our church goes to, or other things, I mean, pour into your marriage. You'll never regret doing those things.
Excellent. Yeah. So grace in marriage, that's a big deal, isn't it? I mentioned in first service, we shared a few scriptures. We need to wrap up and get to communion here in a minute. But grace, and it's come up, you know, in our discussion here as well. There's, if we're not able to receive God's grace and give God's grace, I love John's answer about, you know, dealing with the children and and so on. You know, knowing how much grace we get from God, to then withhold it is, you know, that's just not okay. But there's a verse that I've leaned on, and my wife has leaned on, I think, quite a bit too. But 2 Corinthians 5:16, from now on, we no longer know one another according to the flesh. So what that means is that when I look at my wife, I see a new creature in Christ. When she looks at me, she sees a new creature in Christ. Even though I may be having a bad day, might not be the most whatever, might be having a chip on my shoulder, whatever it is, but she's not going to know me according to that. She's not going to characterize my life and who I am by that. She's going to think of me as a godly man, as a new creature in Christ. I'm always going to think of her as a godly woman. We both will have a bad day or a bad moment, but that bad day or bad moment won't characterize who we are, who we think of each other as. So, and that is grace. That's how grace works. We think, we choose to think the best about the person, not the worst. And it's totally necessary for a marriage to be joyful and healthy. So one last question for, and you can start, Housers. For anybody who's maybe in a rough patch in their marriage right now, what would you say to them?
Well, for us, you know, God has brought us through some just pretty incredible things and some very difficult things in our story. But one of the parts of our story is when we were young and just starting our family, we lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was in the music industry. Music was an idol in my life, and so I was working hard, working all the time, and we were having a lot of conflict, a lot of unresolved conflict. And things finally came to a head one day, and we just had a big fight, and I ended up getting in my truck and just driving away from the house and said, I don't know what we're going to do, but I can't do this for the rest of my life, you know. But it was that moment then when I pulled my truck over to the side of the road because I was just crying so hard I couldn't drive anymore. That's when I just surrendered everything to the Lord, and I said, God, I don't care if I do music anymore. I mean, God just showed me where my life was, and he just made it very clear to me. But I said, I don't care if I do music anymore. I just want you to save my family. I want to stay married. And we had our two boys, and I come from a divorced home. And so I just said, God, save our family, you know. And I had an experience with God in that moment. So the first thing I would say is cry out to God. And he hears those prayers. There's a verse in the Bible that says, you know, you lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and you set my feet on a rock in Psalm 40. And that's one of my life verses from that moment. Because that's what happens. I told Heidi I wasn't going to come home that night, but God gave me the strength that night to turn my truck around, go back to the house, and I said, we're going to make it. God's going to bring us through this. And it was a process after that. It's not like everything, all of our problems went away, but my priorities changed. And I knew I was going to do whatever it took to commit and to surrender to God, and God empowered us. And now I look back, and I used to look at that as like one of the worst days of our marriage, because it was definitely one of the hardest days. But now I look back and see that was probably one of the best days of our marriage, because it changed our lives. And even through that whole time, we got connected with our church. The whole Seeds Family Worship Ministry that I'm still doing was born out of that season. Things in music that I had idolized, I let go, but then God blessed the work I was doing. But it was really, it got our family on track. And then we ended up having, I also thought, you know, we couldn't handle any more kids because of the stress. And now with this amazing girl, 16-year-old Abby, that we wouldn't have. So my advice to you going through those difficult seasons is press into God and stick through it, because the fruit and the blessing that comes, like how much we would have missed if I would have taken the other road. I mean, it blows my mind that the grace of God and Heidi, just through these years, but now we going through those hard times, and that's one of several in our 25 years, right? But God's brought us through every one, and I'm so thankful, and you won't regret it. I mean, sitting here now, I just turned 50 this year, and I look back and I go, I'm so thankful for what God's done, and that we've persevered through these difficult times and that God's brought us through them.
Yeah. So if you're going through a rough time, listen, your worst day in the Lord, it can lead to your best days. And so you've got to remember that God works through difficulty in our lives. It's one of his best tools in shaping us. And so, you know, I love Jason and Heidi's story. I love all the stories here this morning. As a matter of fact, let's clap it up for our couples this morning. And we'll go ahead and transition into communion. So thanks you guys so much for sharing your lives with us. And when we take the reins from the Lord, it's inevitably based on temporal things. So if I take this way, well, I'll be more comfortable, or I'll be more happy, or I'll be, you know. But it turns a blind eye towards what really matters. And when we adjust ourselves to the Lord, we're gonna find ourselves thinking about things like eternity and how my life now impacts my eternity. What does it really matter if I stay married? I mean, what does it really matter? Well, it matters apparently a lot, according to Scripture. And marriage, as many of you know, it's picturesque of our ultimate marriage, which is to Jesus. He's the heavenly bridegroom. We are the bride. And so for you to stay married, to go make it through the rough patches, because like the Housers, like our other couples, you find there is incredible blessing that you didn't know was going to be there. You didn't know that. When you're in the rough patch, you don't know that there's blessing on the other side, so you have to take that by faith and walk in harmony with God and say, God, I'm staying in this thing. And I'm going to confess my faults. And I can't change my spouse, but I can change me. I can steward my own attitudes. And so, God, I'm in. And you'll find wherever the road leads, you're walking with God. And it's going to be the way that you will ultimately be thankful that you went. Let's take the bread, shall we? If you're watching via live stream, you're welcome to join us if you have elements at home. And we value this meal at Lighthouse Church in a huge way. And we know there's still a lot of you quarantining because of COVID and that type of thing. So, and we miss you. But we want to be as connected as we can. So let's hold the bread before the Lord. God, we want to thank you that you have demonstrated what love really looks like. This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his son. So Jesus, as we think of the greatest act of love in the history of the world, this is the same kind of love that you now call us to. Sacrificial love, agape love. And Lord, we all have to confess that we sometimes fall short of that. And so we pray, Lord, today that you would help us, Lord, especially in our marriages, for those who are married here. We pray for your grace and help to love our spouses well. But for all of us, to be able to walk in, to move in the agape love of God, towards all the people that we come into contact with in our lives. Lord, that's our cry. That's our prayer. So, Lord, search us, know us, see if there's any wicked way in us, any pollution in our heart, any bitterness, any kind of funky attitude towards anyone. And then, Lord, lead us in the everlasting way. Help us to repent of that this morning and to get free of it so that we are free to walk in your love, walk in your grace with our spouse, with our family, with our friends, with our co-workers, with our fellow students. Jesus, thank you for the greatest act of love. Bless the bread as we remember in your name. Amen. Let's eat. Let's take the cup together. Lord, this cup means that our sins are washed away. And Lord, we're so glad about that. We're so glad that the stuff in our past that perhaps has nagged at us and haunted us in some ways is in reality washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. But this cup also means that I don't have a right to hold on to bitterness and malice. I don't have a right to harbor hatred in my heart or to wish ill of anyone. So, Lord, as we get ready to drink, would you wash our hearts, purge our hearts clean? Jesus, thank you for taking those nails into your hands and feet. Thank you for taking the spear into your side, the crown of thorns into your brow, for allowing your life's blood to flow from your body for our redemption and our forgiveness. Bless the cup as we remember in your name. Amen. Let's drink. If you are not a Christian here this morning, you just need to know a couple of things. Number one, God loves you. In spite of what you may have done in your life, the bad things and all of that. But secondly, God has done something for you. He's actually died for your sins. Jesus died for sin, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:3. And so you can come to Jesus by faith and you will be forgiven. You'll be washed clean. That's what God will do for you because of Christ on the cross. And so salvation and forgiveness is a prayer away from you. So if you would like that this morning, if you'd like to believe in Jesus and trust him as your Savior, I want to lead you in prayer. So if that's you here in the auditorium or you watching by live stream, why don't you bow your head right now and pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you, that you died on the cross for my sins, that you rose from death, and I want you to be my Savior. So wash away all my sin and make me a new person. And help me from this day on to live for you. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together, shall we?